The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering GoToAssist, remote support made easy, and by HP Workplace Services. Are you an instant-on enterprise?
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is how smart is your supply chain? And our guests for today's show are Jane Barrett, who's the Managing Vice President for Gartner's AMRI Supply Chain Research Group. Good morning, Jane.
Hey, good morning, Sanjay.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. We finally have some good weather in Boston.
I am so glad that you're enjoying the sunny mornings, and hopefully you'll have fun going forward as well. And by the way, we have Michael Natz, who's the Chief Customer Officer, Chief Information and Service Officer with YRC Worldwide. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sunjo.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
And so more sun for you, more golf for you, less work for you. Is that how I should define your work going forward?
I'd like for you to do that, yes, absolutely.
Very nice. So while we have to do that, let's look at this area of supply chain, which we know we want to tweak forever. We want to make it better every time when we touch it so that we have bottom line savings and perhaps also create options for top line growth. But then we start talking about this word smart and intelligent supply chain. That concept has been around literally for decades, and people have been working tirelessly to tweak supply chain in order to get more out of it. Is there one definition or something which is a good or a holistic definition of smart supply chain that we can put on the table as a point of reference and then go forward? Jane, oh, so Mike, why don't we start with you?
All right, I'll go ahead and start then. I think you're right. I'm not sure that there's a great holistic definition out there. There's varied definitions. I'll take a crack at what I think it is. I think a smart supply chain is basically an interconnected or integrated supply chain that provides real-time visibility and information to people so that it facilitates communication, planning, decision support, execution, and actually aids in the identification and mitigation of risk. And I guess inherent in that definition is elements of cost-effectiveness and quality.
Jane, how do you agree and or would like to add and or disagree to something what Mike just mentioned as a definition for
smart? Yeah, you know, Mike, this was a great description of what a supply chain should look like, the end-to-end supply chain. I think what has to come first and foremost is what is important to the shareholders and the customer? How does the supply chain drive value? What does the supply chain need to look like to drive value and ultimately achieve what the CEO wants, which is growth? Is the supply chain driving innovation? Is it agile where it needs to be? Is there enough talent in that supply chain to be sustainable in the future? So I think it really is all about how does it achieve the goals of the business? And, you know, in some cases, a business needs an extremely efficient supply chain because they're in a low-margin business. And that kind of supply chain, what is smart in that kind of supply chain is going to look very different to a supply chain that is maybe in a company that's producing extremely complex, engineer-to-order products, very high margin, but a lot of complexity. So, you know, where they need to be far more agile and it's very, you know, highly engineered. So I think what smart looks like has to differ based on the ultimate goals of the business.
Jane, if we had had the same discussion 10 years ago, would your definition be any less or more?
You know,
or different?
10 years ago, there was much more of a concept of sort of efficiency and one size fits all, and, you know, let's put in this big ERP package and have a lot of standardization. And I think that what we've seen now, especially with large organizations, is one size fits all just doesn't work anymore, because in a large organization, you know, we hear companies saying, we need our supply chain to be efficient and agile. Well, you can't be efficient and agile in the same supply chain. And essentially what companies are operating in is a very large, complex network, and they've got multiple supply chains, supply chain types within the network. So how do they really tailor their supply chains to be able to respond as best as possible to demand signals? And those demand signals these days are very different to what they were 10 years ago. A lot more volatility and erratic demand signals and different customer buying patterns.
So how interesting does this change bring? I mean, how interesting does your job become, Mike, with the change that Jane just mentioned in the way supply chain is morphing and the interesting demands that the end user and or stakeholders are presenting to you? Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a difficult time hearing you there, Sanjay.
Yeah, what I was saying is essentially how difficult or how interesting is your job becoming based on what Jane just mentioned in terms of the changes?
I think it's very interesting. I think Jane hit the nail on the head. We have a variety of different customers and different suppliers across the globe. And because of that globalization and because of decisions that companies, including ourselves, have made to outsource, it provides for a very dynamic environment. You have different cultures that you have to contend with. You have different regulations, different compliance issues that you have to be concerned about. And as Jane says, it's not a one-size-fits-all model. We do have to provide services to our customers that may differ by customer or may differ by geography. And that definitely keeps us on our toes.
So, Mike, if we were to build, say, take a snapshot of what supply chain, a smart and a good-looking supply chain should be, and we take a snapshot today, is that snapshot then going to change tomorrow significantly for it to become a moving target, and that creates even more challenges for you? Or you think you can at least work towards coming close to what today's smart supply chain is, and that will be there for a bit?
Well, I think it's going to be ever evolving. And I think, again, as Jane mentioned earlier, it's very different depending upon the type of business you're in and what your requirements are, really. So a supply chain for one manufacturer may be different than the supply chain for another manufacturer. Some people are going to use ERP systems or transportation management systems or warehouse management systems, maybe even barcoding or satellite communications or terrestrial communications. But I wouldn't say that all of those technologies are necessary for all the companies that are involved. And it really depends on what your CEO's vision for the business is and how you want to respond to your customers' needs.
So, Jane, do you think most organizations could confidently say that they've nailed it, or they are primarily playing catch-up?
I think there's such a continuum of companies on a maturity curve. You know, we look at supply chain capabilities from an overall supply chain organizational model right down to the functional areas on a four-stage maturity model. And I will tell you that we probably see two-thirds of companies unable to get past stage two for a whole host of reasons that we could have a whole nother talk show about. But I think one of the biggest mistakes companies make is that they try and do things, try and put initiatives in place, put technology in place that they're not ready for. So the most important thing that needs to be done is understand your level of maturity, of where you are, and what smart looks like for your stage of maturity, for what you can cope with. Because if you are, for instance, in a stage two environment where you're just, you know, trying to get some basic solid supply chain processes and technologies in place, you're going to have different projects and different investments that are going to work. For example, you might be ready to do some, say, inventory optimization. Now, when you get up to stage four, which we call orchestrate, which is the most advanced capabilities from a supply chain perspective. Now, you know, you're looking at very advanced analytics, simulation capabilities, really understanding your cost to serve the end customer, taking that back into more sort of dynamic supply chain segmentation to understand how you should design the supply chain based on the characteristics of cost and complexity. So I think the important thing is to know where you are in that maturity, what you're capable of doing based on your level of maturity, and then what smart looks like for you. You know, the technology we've got available today is unbelievable with, you know, the internet capabilities, the cloud, the access to data, unstructured and structured data, this explosion of data, you know, embedded software, the applications and content that's going in to devices where you can pull that data. So the explosion of data is so huge. But what is feasible to use depending on where you are and what you're going to do with it and what you're capable of?
So, Mike, with all the different things that is going on, what do you think is your biggest challenge as someone who has to handle business unit leaders' expectations and technology evolution at the same time? Where do you find the most challenging and or complex issues that you have to handle?
Well, I think the most challenging issues are trying to deliver what everybody wants with the constraints that you have in your day-to-day business. I think that technology in some respects is abundant and available to do a whole host of things, more things than a lot of businesses are able to afford. And so we're constantly challenged with identifying, okay, what is it that we need? What is it that we can afford? What problems are we trying to solve? And not implement a solution or a technology just because it's available or we can do it. And the challenge with that is that when you're dealing with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of customers, each one of those customers may have very specific needs, and those needs may be unique to that customer. So we have to build in a lot of flexibility into our systems, and that flexibility comes with a lot of cost. So for us, I think the biggest challenge is cost-effectively providing what everybody needs and making sure that we don't go overboard and make things more complex than we need to.
So with respect to, okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's look at the overall visibility that we expect to get from the supply chain innovation that we are trying to do. And the amount of investment that we would like to make in it, do we really feel confident that the ROI that we could get out of it is going to outweigh the investments that are made? So would we turn out to be net positive with the supply chain improvement that we plan to invest in? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore.
Thank you for tuning in to
up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
We live in an instant-on world. Mobile, connected, and fluid. Immediate gratification is the order of the day. To compete in this world, you have to be ready to take on changing business and financial conditions. HP Workplace Services helps you meet your organization's diverse technology needs while keeping control of costs. We provide full lifecycle workplace management solutions so you can focus on what's next. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
All right, welcome back. So the question that we have is with respect to the investments that we are making in supply chain, and we want to be proactive, and we want to really be knowing everything what's going on real-time about across your supply chain and across the business. So the ROI that is expected should be mighty huge for it to offset and or outweigh the investments are we making. So Jane, let me start with you. Do you see that truly happening, or is it more a leap of faith which is making us invest over and over without getting as much or as good a result as you would expect otherwise?
Well, yeah, I think that we've got to look at the different types of investments that are made, because there are investments that need to be made in very foundational capabilities and enabling technology. And those tend to be where there's a lot of capital expenditure. But you need to have those very compliant systems, typically your ERP. It costs a lot. You can't not have it. Whether you can do it a bit cheaper or not is always questionable. Does that bring the massive ROI? Well, not always. It's very often more what we at Gartner call the systems of differentiation or the systems of innovation that bring the high ROI. And they are systems that you are likely to change more often. They're going to be based on newer technologies. In some cases, they're going to be fairly experimental. And that's where you get a lot of the ROI. In these sort of groundbreaking areas where you're supporting innovation in the supply chain. But what it all needs to boil back to is, what is the business outcome you're looking for? Can you answer the question, if the CFO says, so what? Why are you doing this? Why do we need to justify this investment? How do you translate what you're doing in a process or with an enabling technology to answer that so what question? What is it going to ultimately achieve from a business perspective? And if it can be related back to the goals of the enterprise, is it about customer retention? Is it about reducing costs? Is it about being able to better deal in an emerging market where there's huge opportunities for revenue growth? That's where the ROI needs to come from. But what we've seen so often is the ROI, particularly in these very foundational systems of record, don't necessarily bring that very high business ROI, but they're a necessity.
So with that being said, Mike, the question here is, you mentioned that the biggest challenge is the resource constraint. And do you think we want to do all of these good things, but since we do not have a measurably positive ROI definition and or a formula that we can demonstrate to the business users and or executive management, perhaps that's the reason why they are not willing to invest in this?
Well, I think that there's always people that are skeptical of the benefit. And this is why I think it's important that your goals and objectives tie to what the CEO envisions on behalf of the company. Usually, if you have the executive leadership team in place and all rowing in the same direction, then people are willing to make those investments. But some things, as Jane indicated, that you have to just make a leap of faith, or it's just a requirement of doing business. So, take, for example, the pharmaceutical industry. There's a great deal of regulatory compliance issues that are necessary and that are part of the supply chain.
Yes.
I don't know that you're going to be able to generally create an ROI for that activity. If a compliance or regulatory change comes into place, it's not a matter of doing a return on business. It's a return on investment. It's a matter of simply staying in business and providing the services that you're required to provide to the customers or the government or whomever you're dealing with.
So with all the different systems that we are really putting in and all the visibility that we're expecting out of it, Mike, do you think all the visibility we are indeed getting, is that truly actionable, and is it coming to us timely for us to really make use of it? Or there's some delay and or quality is what is suffering?
No, I think that you can basically provide information on anything, and you can choose to make that information as actionable as you want. I think that there's an issue with how practical it might be to do something. So, you know, let me give you an example. And this goes to the idea that different companies have different objectives and have different supply chains, even if they're making similar types of products. So an example might be if you're making widgets and you're dealing with a local provider that happens to be a few miles down the road, and if your goods are delivered to you next day at 99% on time, it's not necessary for you to have track and trace capabilities with your transportation providers, for example. Conversely, if a similar manufacturer is making widgets, but they're outsourcing their products from overseas, it might be very important for that manufacturer to have a track and trace capability, because now those goods have to make it onto an ocean-going vessel, and that ocean-going vessel is going to be on the seas for 2 weeks, and it might be very important for that manufacturer to know exactly where his product is at all times, because frankly, there's a greater risk that that product is going to be late. And if that product's late, it might affect inventories and it might affect sales. And it poses a very different problem in that case from the vendor who happens to be simply a few miles down the road.
Jin, how do you answer the same question with respect
to
the
quality? The word visibility is used very loosely, and everyone talks about we need supply chain visibility, or we need visibility into our suppliers. But I think one really has to look at what you mean by visibility. And obviously there's the tracking of orders and inventory and, you know, where your order is, and then that's the one part of it that is, as Mike says, more necessary in certain instances than others. But I think what's more important and what we're seeing these days as being of more value and people being able to take action from it is visibility into demand. Because as I mentioned earlier, demand has become very volatile. Customer buying patterns are far more erratic. They're placing smaller orders closer to when they need it, not committing as much as they used to. You know, demand, a lot of companies are seeing growth from emerging markets, which is very difficult to predict. Companies are always innovating new products and services, which is always more difficult to predict and to forecast. So I think what we're seeing is that if you can get better visibility, the more visibility you can get into the demand side, into working with your customers, collaborating, and trying to understand that downstream demand, and maybe not your direct customer, but it's an end consumer or patient or another business, the more you can get visibility into that, the more you can better plan and manage your supply chains so that you can be more predictable on the supply side without having to keep on having to react, jump through hoops, fight fires, expedite, etc. So yes, it's still useful to have visibility on the supply side, but typically we find that the value comes from visibility on the demand side. And that's in the form of, you know, broadly when we talk about demand, it's not just orders and the forecast. That's very early stage. Yes, you need to know your orders. You need to have some kind of statistical forecasting. But, you know, there's other places that you can get demand insights that can help you depending on your planning horizon. So can you get data from, say, point of sale data or from remote monitoring or from other sources to help you in the short term? What are those indicators you can look at long term to get visibility into demand? Maybe it's demographic information. Maybe it's tied into housing starts or whatever it is. So that is where I think we're seeing far more value coming from investments in visibility is on the demand side than on the supply side.
So with respect to you putting in the plumbing and providing the data, like basically conduits for data, and that's something which IT takes pride in, how close have we been able to come to the expected quality and data integrity and security, which more people or many people actually are concerned about? So Mike, what do you think, how confident do you feel your stakeholders are today with respect to what's flowing from in those pipes?
Well, you know, I think it relates to the data integrity portion of things. It's a very real and meaningful issue. I actually would say that, you know, data integrity, my experience has led me to be more concerned with data integrity issues because of the frequency of occurrence and the impact that those data integrity issues have on day-to-day decision-making and execution. You know, back to this example, imagine yourself as a retailer. If your system says that you have a sufficient amount of inventory on hand in your store, but your shelf is actually empty, you're not going to sell many widgets. And in fact, you may not even be placing the order. And that becomes problematic. Now, no. With respect to the security portion of the pipes in the question, I think that poses a greater risk, not necessarily on a day-to-day level, but certainly from the perspective of risk related to some type of a catastrophic failure. If you have a major security breach, you know, that brings your systems down, or frankly, that exposes customer data, you know, that's going to be a problem. And we've seen in the news many, unfortunately, circumstances lately where that's happened. Look at what Sony is dealing with, you know, with their PlayStation. They've allowed information to be made available outside the company. So I think a smarter supply chain requires integration with many parties, and you have to be very careful about controlling both the quality of the data and the access to that data.
So, Mike, as you go about handling that within the company and the fact that you are connecting with the rest of the world, in your supply chain, like I would say value chain or the supply chain partners, you could at most influence them, and you cannot control them. Are you... is the whole supply chain, if you will, able to work as closely, and other issues which could be depending on the type of people you find on the other side, you cannot truly control them, as I mentioned, and how much can you get done with just plain influence versus control?
Well, I always think it comes down to the relationships that you have with your, you know, business partners and your customers. There's a certain element of trust that has to take place. Now, trust alone isn't going to get it done. You're going to have to exercise some due diligence and take responsibility for your parties that you're working with up and downstream. But in the end, right, you're only as strong as your weakest link. So you want to minimize those to the extent that you're able to do so.
So, Jane, coming to you, if you were to inventory the weakest links and or the issues which prevent the supply chain group or all companies or entities who are involved in the same common supply chain, and it prevents them from working well and provide the desired results, what are those?
Well, obviously, there's, from the technology perspective, the need to have the data integrity and security. But if we move more to this concept of master data management, which is still something that companies struggle to manage and to get under control, I think it's the need to be able to manage that data, because every company has multiple systems and they're passing data back and forth. They're either passing it sort of end to end from customers, you know, and other trading partners in and out of their organization, or they're passing it up and down through different types of systems, from their system of record to other systems that might be more around planning or simulation or analytics or whatever. So I think it's really, you know, how the business takes ownership of the quality of the data, and the business ultimately owns the quality of the data. From that perspective, IT obviously needs to make sure that that the technology is sound and secure. So I think from both aspects, it really needs to be a top priority because, you know, as Mike said, if you're dealing with bad data, you know, that is a starting point for failure for various other processes.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and look at BI, business intelligence, where we are expected to slice and dice data to nth degree and see what can we use, how can that be used for us to become, and for our supply chain to become more intelligent. Do we truly become intelligent, or we get into analysis paralysis? Is this data and our intelligence that has been provided to you truly actionable? Let's explore when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
We live in an instant on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Immediate gratification is the order of the day. To compete in this world, you have to be ready to take on changing business and financial conditions. HP Workplace Services helps you meet your organization's diverse technology needs while keeping control of costs. We provide full lifecycle workplace management solutions so you can focus on what's next. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. GoToAssist, brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
From the boardroom to you. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, welcome back. So let's look at the slicing and dicing of data and delivering business intelligence. And of course, it is helping in many other areas besides supply chain. And our goal is to see if whatever intelligence that gets delivered, it is also actionable and timely for it to really provide us the results and also make supply chain predictive. Is that truly happening? And where are the pitfalls, the gotchas, perhaps the gaps, which are keeping something left to be desired? Jane.
Yeah, I think what's important is for companies to assess their capabilities and overall measurement maturity. Because if you think of the ultimate goal of a BI solution, it's to help you know how you're doing. How are you doing in sales, in finance, et cetera, and be able to drill down into all the detail. Are we making our numbers? Are we achieving these metrics? So measurement maturity, the way we see it, is made up of two things. You've got to have the measurement aptitude, and then you've also got to have the ability to act on those results. And we see really, you know, the best companies do both well. But we see a lot of companies who, what we call, it's kind of paralysis analysis, because they spend so much time and effort on the data and the BI and the reporting and the metrics, and they're not necessarily taking action on it. You know, it's this constant monthly reporting, and it just cycles from one month to the next with data and slices and dices of that data. And then you get other companies who are very actionable, and they tend to have knee-jerk reactions without having the data to support it. It's not really fact-based. So the best companies are the ones who have the data that they need when they need it, and it's accurate, but they also have the right governance and the right culture to take action in the right way. And that's what we call this concept of really strong measurement maturity.
So with that being said, Mike, we have such issues, as you mentioned, and love to get your thoughts on that. But also, does BI truly... One is that it could claim, but in reality, does it really make you proactive and predictive with respect to supply chain?
Yes, I absolutely believe that it does. Business intelligence tools help provide actionable information and is absolutely critical to improving operational performance. You know, if I think about a few things it's capable of doing, be very tactical for a moment, it helps you understand your business trends. It helps you understand variations in quality. Tools will allow you to correlate your inputs and your outputs, identify process bottlenecks. Really, the list goes on and on. And if I think about what those mean in certain environments, well, it means it supports lean manufacturing processes, Six Sigma processes. It allows you to do what-if analysis and planning scenarios. And simply put, I think, you know, BI provides companies with a way to adapt their supply chains in the face of continuously changing business conditions. And, you know, here's a very practical example. If you're a small manufacturer and you're entertaining business with a large potential client, you're going to want to understand the implications of winning that business. How is it going to impact your raw material needs? What will be the implications on your machine capacity? How will your existing customer orders be impacted? How much working capital will you need? BI really helps you answer those questions, and it definitely allows the company to be more proactive and predictable. The key, though, as Jane mentioned, is making sure you don't fall into a situation where you're victim to analysis paralysis.
Now let's look at the resource crunch. And Mike, you did mention that sometimes there is a resource crunch and that's why we're not able to get something done. And guess on the other side, the supply chain executives and the whole team might get all excited about something they want to get done so that they can get results yesterday. And that could potentially tempt them to get things done outside of IT and or you know, basically create their own siloed IT or rogue IT, if you will. How big of a problem is that? And Jane, let's start with you on that.
You know, I think it's a problem and it's an opportunity because so many IT organizations are very focused on major projects, whether it be implementations, upgrades, or keeping the lights on. And what we have today with cloud and software as a service and all these other technology enhancements is we have the ability for supply chain people to be able to get solutions from service providers, from you know small boutique sort of bleeding edge software providers that are really systems of innovation. They are innovative. They can really help a supply chain experiment in a certain area and look for new capabilities. Now, the risk there is that it's being done in an isolated fashion because IT is not necessarily capable at that point in time in providing the resources to it. I think that as long as there is very good communication and understanding, I don't think this is necessarily bad because those systems of innovation are typically not the sort of foundational systems that that stay around a long time, that need to be very, very well managed and regulated. These systems of innovation tend to be new applications that are built on an ad hoc basis to address a specific business requirement. And very often they don't have a long life, and eventually they sometimes come into the foundational systems that IT then supports. So I think that as long as there is a very good understanding between the business leaders who are needing to address these business challenges, and this is often where the very, very big ROI is, or they need to experiment, and with IT and how IT is going to support it long term, I think it can be managed. I just don't think many companies do that very well, and I think we have supply chain people going off and signing up for capabilities through SaaS, cloud-type solutions because they're very cheap and it's very easy to get them without IT. The issue then comes in the integration with the foundational systems.
Mike, how do you view this independence or preemptive independence where they do not really care and or perhaps they don't feel that IT needs to be involved without recognizing the repercussions and going out? Is that truly a challenge which is causing more headache than the actual advantages it brings?
Well, I think it's a challenge. I think that Jane's summary is really pretty good. You know, we have to remember that sometimes IT is not able to move at the speed of business. I'm reminded of that because of things that we need to get done. However, when those situations arrive, it's not like we can tell people to wait. So there are certain circumstances, I believe, where it's acceptable for ad hoc IT work or rogue work or shadow IT work to be done. I wouldn't say that I like it, but I certainly understand it and I appreciate why it happens. Where I become concerned about it is where something that's meant to be a short-term or temporary solution now becomes ingrained and it becomes part of the backbone. And very frequently, I see that those systems either can't scale or perhaps more importantly, they're manipulating the data and it's contributing to data integrity issues across a variety of different decision-making tools. And as long as you manage that and you allow the ad hoc solutions to exist and get rid of them before they become a problem, then I think you're in good shape.
So when we are looking at the actual smarter supply chain related investments, now what level of responsibility should IT take given that most of the smartness, if you will, that's been brought on board or has been brought on into the supply chain function is primarily because of an IT related solution or a technology or process perhaps. So why should IT and why should not IT be accountable for supply chain? Jane?
Well, I think, you know, just the way you frame the question is immediately sort of raises a red flag to us at Gartner, because whenever people talk about, you know, should IT be involved or not, is there IT or business alignment, the minute that sort of statement is thrown out, it implies that they're apart to start with. And, you know, the CIO should be seen as a business leader in the eyes of the CEO and the C-level people and part of the team. And one of the good things that we've seen actually in some of the data that we've got from our CIO study is that from 2009 to 10, there's actually been quite an increase in the proportion of business leaders who see IT as a value-added partner and really part of it, because it's not the, you know, should IT and business be aligned. They are part of the same organization trying to achieve the same business goals. So, you know, it's really when the CIO is working with the business partners towards those business results, having very good business knowledge, and that, you know, again, we see in the surveys and the data that comes back, that has become of prime importance to the CIO is to have that, you know, be focused on business results and have the business knowledge. What that then translates into is a much closer view, as Mike was saying, of an understanding of, you know, what do we need, what is IT capable of, where can IT help us, what can we do, but to what point, when does it need to come back to IT, and real you know, collaboration around that and working towards a common business plan.
All right, so let's take a quick break and we'll come back. What we'd like to do is, while Jane, what you mentioned is the question related to alignment, here I'm taking to the next level, which is responsibility and accountability of what this new flavor of smarter supply chain is going to do. If it fails, can a supply chain leader simply say 99% of what the smartness was related to IT, and IT brought upon us the smartness, and if it fails, that means IT should take care of it and should be accountable. Is that the way the relationship between supply chain and IT is going to change, given the heavy dose of IT that is getting injected into the supply chain function? We'll explore this more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
We live in an instant-on world. Mobile, connected, and fluid. Immediate gratification is the order of the day. To compete in this world, you have to be ready to take on changing business and financial conditions. HP Workplace Services helps you meet your organization's diverse technology needs while keeping control of costs. We provide full lifecycle workplace management solutions so you can focus on what's next. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Jane, you mentioned about alignment just before the break. And the follow-up question is alignment same as accountability and responsibility of a function, given that the maximum introduction of smartness, or I would say maximum, the most critical component of a supply chain becoming smart is IT. And if that's the case, then why should IT take a backseat? Why should it not be literally running supply chain at least in order to make it smarter, and once the supply chain leaders learn how to use the IT component, and perhaps they can take on the responsibility again?
Well, I think it's even broader than just supply chain and IT. It's in general, companies who are in earlier stages of maturity tend to be more siloed. IT is siloed from the business. Within supply chain, you get the various functions of supply chain being planning, logistics, procurement, manufacturing, etc. They tend to be supply chain siloed, even though they might roll up to the same individual. I think that really what we see is the need for joint accountability for achieving business performance. And we're seeing the companies that are best at this have a common scorecard, and they have some common metrics that all of their senior executives, leaders of the various parts of the business within supply chain and IT are measured on. And this drives a certain behavior, because as much as you need to make sure that you meet your goals, so procurement's got to meet their goals, manufacturing's got to meet their goals and their numbers, IT's got to meet their goals and their numbers, you also need the end-to-end. That's the north-south alignment. You need that because the company's got to be predictable and make its numbers. But you also have to have the east-west alignment, and you get this through some common joint metrics. So this is where we see this common scorecard being used. And IT, the CIO, should be in there as much as the various functions of supply chain to be able to drive to business results. You know, if you look at, for instance, a successful product launch, that's critical to supply chain, being able to successfully launch a product. It not only needs the right technology enablement and the commitment from the CIO to support it, it needs the right commitment from the various parts of supply chain and maybe engineering. So it's a very much end-to-end process that requires that joint ownership and metrics that are end-to-end and commonly measured.
Now, with what you just mentioned, do you think the supply chain leaders and executives, they are ready to listen to IT intently and respect what they bring to the table and even allow them to lead for a bit this transformation for the supply chain function to become smarter?
If you're asking me, I don't think the words sort of, I think that they need to listen to each other. I don't think one leads the other. I think it's joint. I think that they really need to be jointly focused on achieving business performance. What are those business metrics that you need to move the needle on? And what does the business side need to do? And what does IT need to do? And to jointly make those decisions. So they need to listen to each other. You know, I don't think it's the fact that IT leads at all, but in just the same way, supply chain shouldn't lead without partnering with IT on decisions that relate to technology.
Sanju, may I add that to that, please?
Yes, please.
So I absolutely agree. It's a joint responsibility, and people have to have, you know, common metrics and objectives. I think, though, it ultimately will come down to there still has to be an owner or a leader, if you will, I think, in order to be productive. And so I think that the business owner that's expecting to get the benefit or who will be responsible for the benefit should really be the one that leads the initiative. And maybe that's IT and maybe it's not, but the business owner should absolutely work together with operations and finance and procurement and IT. Even groups like sales may be important to the process. IT is certainly a very important member of the team, and IT should be there to help identify the opportunities, source, you know, different tools, develop the technologies, or even integrating the internal and external systems. If the company is committed to the project and everybody sees the benefits, and they're realistic in what they're trying to accomplish, then resources shouldn't be a problem and the project will be successful.
Yeah, and you know, just to add to that, I think it really depends on what we're looking at, because I would say a huge amount of what IT does and is responsible for, the business people don't care about. It just has to work well. They want their email to work. They want their transactional systems to work. You know, that's not really what they care about. That is something that IT, you know, needs to just keep it running well, and do it as efficiently as possible. I think where it relates back to this concept of what makes a supply chain smart, what is innovation, what is driving growth, what is supporting you in emerging markets, improving new product introductions, improving agility, massive cost reductions, I think that's where it really needs the partnering, because that's what's going to drive the business results. So I think that of all the things that the CIO has responsibility for, it's really being able to pull out those areas where there needs to be very, very close collaboration and joint decision-making with the business on how to achieve those goals.
So one last question, Mike, for you. If we want to make this happen, not only the leadership, but respective processes and people on supply chain and IT side have to be, you know, brought on the same page, and perhaps they have to work together closely. What are the different levels of changes and or improvements that you think in both of those areas, that is people and processes in the two camps, are needed for you to truly make this smart supply chain dream come true?
Well, I happen to be a very process-oriented person, so I guess I'll start there. You need to clearly identify what your opportunities are, what problems you're trying to solve, what you're trying to accomplish, and then you need to make sure that the processes are thoroughly understood and reviewed so that you can, you know, build tools and solutions that are going to meet those objectives. Now, the reality of it is that people is what it's all about, right? People are the ones that do the work. People interact together to produce, you know, a successful outcome. And I think that people like to solve problems. People typically like to rise to the challenge. So to the extent that people see opportunities for improvement, are able to anticipate the problems, or identify need for change, you're going to get a sufficient amount of innovation to make sure that the processes are handled creatively or efficiently.
15 seconds. Jane, any last thoughts on the people and processes side?
Yeah, Mike is spot on. You know, change management, or the lack of ability to change and to address the cultural issues, is one of the biggest things that holds back supply chain. And I think that, you know, having the right organizational design, the change management capabilities, addressing cultural issues is really the glue that pulls us all together.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Mike and Jane, for sharing your thoughts on how we can potentially make supply chain smarter with the alignment, perhaps with the right level of investments, and getting the right type of partnership between supply chain and IT functions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sanjog.
Any questions, listeners, please send it to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.